From the Land de Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the second day of November 2021. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson from L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. We'll update yesterday's USDA Weekly Crop Progress Report and how harvest is continuing across the Corn Belt. And then Gary Schnitke will be here to discuss next year's acreage decision and the crop budgets for both corn and soybeans in the state of Illinois and how fertilizer costs are playing into those. And then as we close out our time together, Don Day will be here from Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. And during this no-till November, I'll take you through the history of no-till in the state of Illinois right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
December corn in Chicago settled at 573 today, 6 lower. The March at 581 and a quarter, down 5 and 3 quarters. And May futures 5 lower at 585 and a half for the corn. January soybeans 1256 and a quarter, up 7 and 3 quarters. The March 8 and 3 quarters higher at 1267. And November soybeans at 1248, down 8 and a quarter. The bean meal up $8.10. The bean oil for the day 2 cents higher on the afternoon. Wheat futures in the soft red December at 791 and a half, down 5 and 3 quarters, and the hard red at 798 and a quarter, down 8 and a quarter for the afternoon. Live cattle futures in Chicago settled at 129.95. That's $1.10 higher. Feeders were at $157.25 per 100 pounds, up $4.30, and lean hogs were down $1.90 for the day. They settled at $74.25. A crude oil for the afternoon at $83.94 a barrel, down a dime. The diesel fuel or heating oil at $2.58. That's just about unchanged on the day. And the gasoline at $2.45 even, 4 cents higher on the afternoon. And finally, the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 35,940. Up 140 points. Wayne Nelson now joins us from L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana, to discuss what happened in Chicago for the day. Hi, Wayne. Thanks for being with us.
Well, good afternoon, Todd. Glad to be here.
Tell me about the trade in Chicago.
Well, you know, it was sort of unusual this morning. We walk in and we saw Stone's numbers yesterday afternoon, and they did what we were sort of expecting. There was an increase. They went to 177.7 on the corn and up to a 51.9 on the beans, and we're thinking that the government might even do a little more than that. So we were looking to see red this morning. We saw lots and lots of green. But before the day was over, where we took up and looked sort of like we topped out when the fund managers surrendered out of orders here today. So, we got up to 586 in the Dees corn, and we closed at 73. So, we backed off pretty good there. But we did manage to hold some pretty decent gains in the beans. We're under the January basically now. They got high at 1261 and they closed around 54. So we backed up a little bit, but we did manage a 6 cent gain on the day.
What do we know about how the numbers look from USDA yesterday as it relates to the crop progress? I feel like things are going along, even though they've slowed down, still pretty well across the nation.
Yeah, I mean, basically we're coming along here. We're behind last year's numbers, but we are ahead of the average of harvested this time. We're 79% done on the beans, 74% done on the corn. We've got a good week here. Looks like we're going to be in here. Looks like we should be able to fly right along. At lunchtime, I was talking to the manager. He used to run our elevator over here, and he says they've got plenty of room and trains coming too, so there shouldn't be any slowdown at the elevators, at least in our area.
And what does that tell you about the future price of both corn and soybeans, if anything?
Well, we're seeing some awfully good prices here for quick shipment. They're wanting to get their hands on corn at ethanol plants and also at soybean plants. And they'd like to have a couple, 3 months stocks on hand if they could. But I think they're probably going to be limited to probably 2 months supply. The one thing we are looking at, though, that is a little bit disturbing to me is they are talking about the idea that we could see beans coming out of South America by the second or third week in January, and their bids being offered out there are 57 cents below what the U.S. is offering beans for that same time period. So just a little bit worried about what this bean market could do.
And I suppose you couple that with the 300 million bushel carryout for next fall, it probably says something about soybean sales for both the current crop, 2021, and the 2022 crop in the United States as well.
Yeah, that does say that basically we'd like to have some locked in here along the way. We did see a little good news on the wires today that maybe we're starting to see some dry fertilizer flowing into some of the plants up in Minnesota and around and getting some train loads of potash and DAP in, and that also you know, we might loosen things up a little bit on the freight as far as things are going that might be able to get some fertilizer moved along the way. The other thing that bothered us was China made an announcement about using carbon monoxide to create some protein to help feed their hogs and not have to buy as many beans and crush as many beans for the meal. So now I know they aren't going to be able to take over much more than 10 to 15% of their market with that for now, but that's 10 to 15% less beans they need from us.
Hey, thanks, Wayne. We appreciate it.
All righty. Have a good day. Good afternoon, Todd.
You too. That's Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows as of Sunday, 74% of the corn crop around the nation had been harvested. The rolling five-year average is 66%. 79% of the soybeans have now been put into the bin. The five-year average there is 81%. 87% of the winter wheat across the nation has now been planted. The rolling five-year average is 86%, and 67% of that crop is up and growing or emerged. The five-year average is 68%. The condition of the crop is said to be 40% good and 5% excellent. That's down one percentage point in the two categories from the previous week and better than last year's 37 and 6, respectively. Now, here are updates from the state statisticians in Iowa and Illinois.
This is Rebecca Alter, statistician for the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office. Widespread precipitation slowed or halted harvest across much of Iowa and limited farmers to just 2.7 days suitable for field work. Field activities, when possible, included harvesting and fall tillage. The week's precipitation helped replenish soil moisture. 86% of the state's topsoil moisture was rated adequate to surplus, the highest percentage of the season. 70% of Iowa's corn for grain has been harvested, 4 days ahead of the five-year average. There were scattered reports of downed corn due to strong winds. Moisture content of field corn being harvested for grain was 17%. Only farmers in south-central Iowa have more than half of their corn-for-grain crop remaining to be harvested. Soybean harvest reached 88%, 2 days ahead of the five-year average. There were several reports of soybeans lodging due to the damp weather. Soybean harvest in the southern one-third of the state continued to lag behind, but farmers in those districts have now harvested close to three-quarters or more of their soybean crop. Pasture condition rated 31% good to excellent. No issues with livestock were reported this week. For the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office, this is Rebecca Alter.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Last week was cool and quite wet across Illinois. Temperatures averaged 50 degrees, and that was 1.6 degrees below normal. Rainfall averaged 2.35 inches around the prairie state, nearly 1.75 inches above average for this week. Northeastern, central, and eastern Illinois were all more than 2 inches above normal rainfall for the week. There was an average of only 1.2 days suitable for field work around the state. Topsoil moisture supplies were rated 1% very short, 4 short, 49 adequate, and 46% surplus. For crop progress, soybean harvest reached 75% finished compared to 93 last year and 86% for the five-year average. Corn harvest reached 81% finished compared to 88% 1 year ago and 80% normally. Winter wheat planting advanced to 70% finished compared to 93% last year and 84% normally. 53% of wheat acres have emerged compared to 63% for the five-year average. Wheat conditions improved and were rated 4% very poor to poor, 10% fair, and 86% of winter wheat acres were rated in good to excellent condition. Finally, pasture conditions were rated 11% very poor to poor, 28% fair, and 61% good to excellent. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region, Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
Our thanks go to the statisticians in Illinois and Iowa for their weekly audio updates of crop progress across the regions. In Nebraska, the number three corn-producing state in the nation, harvest there for corn is now 72% complete. That's behind the 85% posted last year, but still well ahead of the 63% for the five-year average. Soybean harvest now 91% complete in Nebraska, behind the 100% usual and equal to the five-year average. Winter wheat condition in Nebraska rated 3% very poor, 10% poor, 31% fair, 48% good, and 8% excellent. Winter wheat emerged at 90%. That compares to 88% last year and the 92% rolling five-year average. In Minnesota, the number four corn-producing state in the nation, harvest continues despite what the field office there says were wet field conditions for the week ending October the 31st, or Sunday. However, there were 4.3 days suitable for field work last week in Minnesota, the fewest number of days since the week ending September the 5th in that state. Field activities for the week included lifting sugar beets, combining, tilling, and manure applications. Topsoil moisture levels increased to 4% very short, 16% short, and 71% adequate in Minnesota. Corn harvest for grain reached 83%. That's one day ahead of last year and 11 days ahead of the five-year average in Minnesota. Average corn moisture content of grain in Minnesota at harvest remained at 18%. The soybean harvest was nearly complete in the state at 98% and 12 days ahead of the Minnesota average. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, joined now by Gary Schnittke, agricultural economist on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. Gary, thank you for being with us. It's been a busy fall, especially related to the 2022 growing season. Fertilizer prices have been going up, and farmers are really busily running the numbers, trying to figure out just exactly what they should do as it's related to acreage decisions for next year. You decided to run some of those numbers again. Can you tell me what you found as it relates to fertilizer costs to begin with?
So we looked at fertilizer costs for this year and last year using prices in October for 2020 and 2021. If we look at corn costs for Central Illinois based on those budgets, we would have had a $94 cost last year and a $193 cost this year. So almost a $100 increase. Soybean cost went up, or soybean fertilizer cost per acre went up $46 last year to $97 this year. So $51 increase. So both of those costs are up substantially.
And what calculations did you use for coming up with those costs?
Yeah, so we assumed that the yields would be 220 bushels for corn and 68 bushels for soybeans, which is our trend yield projection for next year. And then use the MRTN, maximum return to nitrogen value for the nitrogen rate that came from the corn nitrogen rate calculator. And then we used DAP and potash at replacement levels. So we're looking at those costs at replacement levels for DAP and potash. By the way, if farmers have above test levels of higher than needed test levels for potash and phosphate this year, they might want to cut back on those applications and wait for a lower cost year.
So you take those numbers and you put them into your corn and soybean budgets for 2022, and what happens?
So we are currently using a $5 corn price for next year and $12 soybean price for next year. Those are close to what you could get for fall bids for next year. So those are really good corn and soybean prices, at least by historical standpoint. Put those fertilizer costs in there and the other cost increases we're likely to see for next year. And we still come up with corn being more profitable, or it's projected to be more profitable than soybeans. In central Illinois, by $27 per acre, and across the state, that's the same. In northern, central, the lower productive land in southern Illinois, all regions are projected to have corn profits higher than soybeans at this point in time.
Is this different, this relative profitability, than it has been over time? Most people think corn is more profitable than soybeans generally, but I don't think that's been the case for Central Illinois farms, certainly in recent years.
Yeah, so it's a tale of different eras. Before 2013, from 2000 to 2012, corn was generally more profitable than soybeans, and often by pretty large margins during that period. And that got pretty large during the 2006 to 2012 period, when corn was being increasingly used in making ethanol, or that ethanol build period. From 2013 to 2020, we actually saw soybeans more profitable than corn. And if you're looking at that period, there was no more ethanol growth, and soybean exports were increasing. So we need more acres for soybeans, and that has caused soybeans to be more profitable than corn. From 2013 to 2020, the last 2 years, 2021 and 2022, we're projecting corn to be more profitable than soybeans.
Does the relative profitability for the two crops change very much from one end of the state to the other?
So from one end of the state to the other, we're not projecting much difference between corn and soybeans for next year. But in general, if you're looking at southern Illinois, the soybeans tend to be a bit more profitable than corn overall than in the central and northern part of the state. So we see more acres of soybeans in southern Illinois than we do in northern Illinois and central Illinois. So the relative profitability of soybeans is more skewed toward soybeans in the southern part of the state.
What's your takeaway as it's related to the acreage battle many have been discussing in the marketplace?
You know, at this point in time, I do not see many acreage shifts that are needed out there. And the cost of nitrogen are not really impacting that from a projected return standpoint. So if I'm looking at this now from just projected returns, I don't think there will be much change in acres. And for Illinois farmers, you have to really, you know, those acreage decisions over time, you might want to skew more towards soybeans, because exports likely will be driving the bus forward. But, you know, those are longer run decisions. So I don't see much change in acreage for this coming year. And a lot of people are concerned about fertilizer cost and fertilizer availability. But if the fertilizer isn't available and it's widespread, then we have lower yields and we have a price response, sort of like a drought year.
Gary Schnitke is an agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. You may find his latest article on our website at willag.org. Should be up there this afternoon or this evening. It's titled Planting and Acreage Decisions in 2022. Now, up next, did you know that no-till is an Illinois legacy? That's right. Dixon Springs, in the deep southern part of Illinois, is the birthplace of the modern no-till era for agriculture. And of course, it's a research farm for the University of Illinois as well. Here's a story I produced in 2007, looking back on the history of no-till. It was here in deep southern Illinois, close to the Shawnee National Forest and the furthest north cypress swamp in the United States, that the modern era of farming was challenged and changed. The lands roll, and when it rains, wash away into the Ohio and Mississippi rivers by the ton. Or at least they did, until a University of Illinois agronomist decided there had to be a better way to grow crops on the hillsides. For 37 years, George McKibben experimented and evangelized what was to become the modern era of no-till farming. Illinois agronomist Steve Ebelhair explains the effects of the research can be seen throughout the southern Illinois landscape.
Oh, absolutely, because back in the 30s and 40s, when the area was still under conventional tillage system, we saw a lot of really gully erosion, a lot of water coming off the fields just saturated with soil, just dark soil moving off the profiles, off the landscapes. And now when you see a rain, you know, it's mostly clearer water, not a lot of soil movement because the residues are helping hold the soil in place. So we don't see the gullies that we once saw under conventional till system where the water has moved tremendous amounts of soil off the profiles.
What really made George McKibben's no-till experiments at Dixon Springs work as a soil-saving tool is pretty simple. And there's a reason it took so long for farmers to adopt the practice, meaning reasons it wasn't thought of or worked on prior to the 1960s. The technology to control weeds hadn't been developed and adapted to the farm before that time. The herbicides allowed McKibben's no-till experiments to work, says Ebelhair.
It's really the merger of good weed control herbicides coming into the market and the pioneering efforts of George McKibben that really made no-till take off in the early 60s into the 70s.
And then in the mid-1990s, when the herbicide-resistant varieties of soybeans were introduced, no-till really began to boom. The crop had been modified to withstand being sprayed with a herbicide, and no-till acres around the nation and in Illinois jumped. The first time no-till soybean acres outnumbered any other tillage method in Illinois, by the way, came in 2007, decades after George McKibben planted his first no-till experiments at Dixon Springs. Now, if you'd like to see the very first no-till planter, at least used by George McKibben and most likely in the nation, you can see photos of it on our website at willag.org right now. Speaking of right now, let's turn our attention to the weather forecast. Here's Don Day from Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Although temperatures are going to be below average and it will be kind of chilly across many areas of the Midwest and Corn Belt as we go through the next several days, we do see temperatures beginning to moderate some by late this week and towards the weekend, especially by the weekend as high pressure begins to build in from the west. But with the cool air, the air is pretty dry, so we're not expecting much in the way of any significant precipitation across most of the Corn Belt for the next 5 to 7 days. So yes, it's going to be a little on the cool side, but for any harvest operations, the weather outlook is looking pretty good. Now, when we look further out, as we get towards, let's say, the week after this, we do start to see precipitation chances returning, and also we see the potential for colder weather arriving mid-month. Long-range charts are indicating that we could see some colder air move into the upper Midwest, and this would include the Corn Belt, right around the 13th to the 16th of November, and there will be precipitation with that. In the meantime, cool, dry weather will prevail, a bit of a warm-up after that, and towards the middle of the month, be ready for some colder and wet weather to return.
That's Don Day from Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joined us here on the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Find us online. Listen to us on demand at willag.org, willag.org. There you'll find today the article from Gary Schnittke about the relative price of corn and soybeans and fertilizer cost in the budgets for next year. A bit about no-till November, keep the stubble. It's an interesting little USDA NRCS promotion for the month of November. And of course, you'll find the updated commodity markets and analysis. It's all at willag.org, willag.org. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.